You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight,
I'll try that again. I'm okay. Messed up here.
Son okay. I found myself
consumed by desire. Okay, let me try that again. This new board got me. I'm going to go ahead and start the intro.
Where'd it get you?
I'm going to start the intro again, and then you come in. Here we go. I apologize. Son of a
gun. Oh, that's okay.
I hit the wrong buttons.
Everything's
I wasn't recording. Right. Sorry. Here we go.
Oh, that'd be terrible. Journey.
Yeah, I know.
Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is David Manning. David is a shamanic sound energy healer who intuitively upgrades and recalibrates the energy field. He does his unique energy work mainly over Skype, with distance or location being no bar to the impact of the work. He sees deeply into the stories, structures, and patterns in energy fields and works with sound and focused intent to help these locked patterns to release, individually and at the collective levels. His next phase of work involves the surfacing of deeply submerged Atlantean memories for the collective as we awaken to the gifts we used to live. I highly recommend David's transformational work as being among the best on the planet from my own personal experience. You can find him on Facebook or on his website, www.davidmanningenergywork.com. There will be a rare, direct experience with David and friends Lucia Renee and Susan Gash at their three-day event, Treasure Trove of Transformation 2016, in the wonderful San Francisco Bay Area from July 7th to 10th. This is definitely one not to miss. So let's welcome David to the show now. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm very good, Lance. It's really good to be here. Thank you for such a lovely introduction. Huh?
Yes, yes. Well, we had a wonderful energy session together, and so it gave me some questions that I think are somewhat universal, and I'd like to begin the show at the beginning, so to speak, because I see how the collective shadow is not being addressed, and there's so much guilt and shame and so many belief systems surrounding various things, for instance, being gay, having HIV or cancer, sexual abuse and addictions, mystical experiences, and other things that people are forced or choose to repress, which creates the collective shadow. Can you talk about your own experiences, and that will bring us into that will bring us wherever it'll bring us.
Yeah, I mean, it'll bring us right into the present, I guess, because we're looking at an awful lot of collective shadow playing out on the planet at the moment, you know, and this is the problem when, you know, when large amounts of people don't own their shit, then it gets acted out, and because the planetary field is one, in effect, all of the individual bodies within that planetary field that are rejecting their own personal shadow, it means that it has to be picked up somewhere and acted out. And so we end up having situations... Well, it gets played out in wars and in famines, in weather patterns, in all sorts of things across the planet that that don't actually need to be there. You know, but at a personal level, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. Both my parents were addicts. I had one of those very early, very traumatic introductions to sex at the hands of not an immediate family member, but a family member, and that was you know, really difficult. What happened for me then, and this is what often happens for children, or for adults actually too, but when we have a traumatic experience that we can't process, we leave our bodies, and that's what happened for me. So for a long, long time, I was wandering around feeling this deep aching wound inside that was I felt empty. And I was trying to heal that with all sorts of other things, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, you name it. I was working with that. And it wasn't until much, much later on that when I was actually in a place to deal with the energies, the information, the impact of those very early experiences, that part of me that had left my body came back in. And I was able to integrate that experience. And, you know, we do that at a collective level too. And it really intrigues me, in a sense, how this plays out. And I'm going to veer off course here a little bit. But something that over the past year has really been surfacing into my memory is our collective the collective shadow of Atlantis, and how the trauma of the end, the collapse of Atlantis, was such a potent piece of, such a big piece of trauma for the collective that we suppressed that one. And now as we're starting to really integrate the energies and the awareness of Atlantis again, and what's happening is the Earth is no longer willing to hold that for us. So it's rising up. Those memories, those experiences of Atlantis are rising up. We've dealt with a lot of the trauma of the fall of Atlantis. We're now starting to access, slowly but surely, we're starting to access the gifts that we lived in Atlantis. And this is really, really beautiful and very exciting. But what I've seen is that it's not as much that we need to remember our past lives in Atlantis. That may happen for some, but it's not at all necessary. It's as if we've moved, or we're living in a house and we're just discovering bricked up doorways that we didn't even know were there. So we're expanding the household, as it were. And as these collective memories start to come back online, and it's part of what you could call the ascension process, it's a deepening process too. We knock down or dissolve the membranes of separation that have literally separated us from a bigger version of ourselves, you know, the version of ourselves that lived in Atlantis or Lemuria, those parts of us that science says that doesn't exist, that's just a myth, but mythology holds it for us as a collective memory, and then when we're ready to integrate it, that's the process we're in now. So we're starting to literally expand our energy field at that level, because we're integrating these deep subconscious memories. And it's exactly the same process happening at a collective level that happens at an individual level when, for instance, we suppress a sexual abuse memory from childhood. As we open up to those memories, to that awareness, we integrate a piece of ourselves that we felt was lost. We're doing the same now. We're integrating pieces of ourselves that have, in effect, been lost. They're never actually lost. They're on hold, if you like. And we're doing that in many different dimensions, in many different ways. So the Atlantean memories coming back online is one aspect of that. But we're also integrating awareness of ourselves as existing in other dimensions, on other planets, in other star systems. So there are many, many layers of this as we literally open to ourselves as bigger versions of ourselves, that we're opening into an awareness of bigger versions of ourselves than we have up until now been able to access at a collective level. And of course, there have always been individuals that have done this work, and we hold those up to be the great teachers and saints and sages of our history. But now it's happening en masse. There, you know, a large number of people are doing this all around the planet at the same time, and there's a huge push, a huge wave of this information and energy available, perhaps in a way that it never has been before. So it's very, very exciting.
Well, in some ways, that seems like we're in a kind of replay of the Atlantean times with the high priests, which today would be referred to as the scientists and the Illuminati and the demigods and artificial intelligence, running the show and experimentation with DNA and, you know, strange creations that are going on, and the mix of ET and alien genes and so on. There's a lot of stuff that has not come out, and we know that the governments of the world and the religions have repressed and hidden a vast repository of information about our true history and who we are, and they're using everything they can to weaponize so that they can basically control the galaxy, so to speak. So do you feel that many have many from Atlantis are here now, and that there is some kind of replay on the physical and other levels?
I certainly do, yeah. And I think a lot of us, we've worked through a lot of the shadow, which is what's enabling us to access what I see now as the gifts of Atlantis, the beautiful stuff that we lived in Atlantis, because Atlantis was, from my understanding, a very long civilization. It went on over many thousands of years, and it was just the last period that was what we could consider the fall of Atlantis, when the ego took over, the intellect took over, and we started to disconnect from the collective wisdom and from the planet, and we started to begin that process of domination. So we went into that shocking place that we think of now as the fall and the flood, and lost touch with the memories of that time. But now we're in this process of integration again, of integrating. I mean, I think we've done a lot over the past couple of hundred years of the integration of the shadow of that time. And there's a choice now. It's different now. There's a real choice opening up for us. You either choose to focus on that, on the Illuminati and the scientists, and the fact that there appears to be a war going on, you know, a subtle war going on, or you choose to do your internal work of processing your own personal shadow and move out of that dimension. Because it's going to be very easy to be sucked down by the polarization of the planet at the moment.
Right.
And we're seeing it in every level. So it's a very clear choice. And I just had this choice yesterday. I was in the UK, where I live. I live in London. And we were choosing yesterday whether to stay in or out of the European Union. And I had a couple of clients yesterday morning, so I did my work. And afterwards, I thought, okay, I'm done with that. I'm going to go vote. And I sat down and just closed my eyes before, just to meditate for a few minutes. And as soon as I closed my eyes, I was told, okay, the United Kingdom is choosing to leave the European Union. And this is not your territory. This is not your story. Let it go. And it's it's, you know, so it's shocking. I was aware of that then, so that threw me all day long. And I was working just to let go. I feel quite strongly that we should be a part of Europe, that we should be in that process. But I watched television late last night and saw the votes coming in, and I knew that what I'd been told was the truth, that this wasn't, you know, the vote was forecast for Britain to stay in Europe, and I knew as I was watching that that wasn't going to happen. And today I've been aware now of just the really swirling energies of the collective in this country, the polarized state, you know, half and half, almost an equal division here, voting for and against, with just a small majority voting to leave the EU. And I've been really struck by how easy it is to be sucked into that energetic dynamic. And every time I close my eyes and drop into meditation, there's a strong lift that just pulls me out of that. And I recognize, actually, that's not my territory. That's not that's not the zone that I need to be focusing my attention into now. And it's the same, you know, where we choose to place our attention is where we're going to get our action. And we have to choose very wisely now, and to move out of focusing on the divisions and just literally do the work internally. Stop making the people out there the enemy or the guilty ones. And just end that war, come to peace inside, and start to access higher dimensions, because they're so freely available now on the planet. And it's really, really important to do the work of clearing the personal field so that we really anchor those dimensions into our personal field and open up to a much bigger truth that we are. And I really don't know how it's going to play out, but I do understand, I've always understood, that there would be a splitting of dimensions at some point. And we're seeing that more and more with, I think everybody's getting the chance to literally understand what it is to create their own reality. And this is becoming more and more potent now, more and more clear for everybody. So it's really important that we become very conscious of what we're doing with our time and energy and where we're focusing, on just getting familiar with the frequencies of where we're hanging out, whether that's hanging out on Facebook or, you know, on the internet, or, you know, in physical reality, whether we're hanging out in low frequency places or hanging out in nature, you know, that sort of thing. It's really important now that we make clear choices. Because
right, your thoughts create your reality, and you know, we have to be careful of what we're entertaining in our internal theater,
and in our external theater.
In our external, yes, of course.
It's both, and because the energies are so fast at the moment and of such a high frequency, you're going to get results very quickly. So it's easy to get taken down into states of depression, negativity. It's also easy, as soon as you start to focus elsewhere, to move out of those. But it's a choice, you know. You have to choose very, very clearly and very wisely. And if you're finding yourself in dynamics of polarization where you're making other people the guilty ones and pointing a finger, then you have to really look at that and bring that to peace inside yourself, because those are just the polarized states that that aren't supporting the ascension process, you know.
Yeah. Well, duality is such an old running program, and we all know pretty much that there's been a great deal of interference from technologically advanced civilizations that come down here or in here or up here from the middle of the earth or wherever, and who play God. And they have created religions and texts and all kinds of things to mess with us. And those technological controls continue to run programs. MKUltra is a good example. I mean, it goes on and on. And there's a lot of intervention to keep us mired in duality, so that we can only make either-or choices. And we're not either-or beings. We are multidimensional, and we operate on every level simultaneously. So our thinking would be good to transcend the duality. And if you catch yourself in duality, to remember that life is not as simple as it's either good or bad, or it's this way or that way, or this team should win and that team should lose. It's not like that. It's only like that at the lowest levels, and we're given bread and circuses like games and sports events and race cars and the rest of it, with advertising, of course, to keep us buying things. And life is not that simple, and people get all worked up about it. So we're being emotionally caught in a net of duality, which limits and does not allow for the other aspects of us to engage and manifest.
No, and that's really well said there, and you put it very well. And we are being manipulated. It's very easy for us to be emotionally manipulated. So that's why I say you've got to make really, really clear choices. And it isn't enough to do this at an intellectual level. That's the significant piece. It's not about thinking positively. That's could be an aspect of it. But it is about really getting to grips with the shadow that each of us has, and acknowledging that actually we are those beings that came here and did the genetic manipulation. We are them. They are our ancestors. Mm-hmm. We have those genetics as a part of our makeup. So a few years ago, I was very aware of contact with reptilian energies and all of that sort of thing. And it was a very frightening, it was a big part of the sexual abuse story as it was unfolding. And there came a time when a lot of that had been processed, and I was asked literally, "We want you now to integrate your reptilian genetics." And I was like, "What? You've got to be fucking joking. I didn't want to do that." And I had to sit with it for a couple of days. And then I realized, it's like, well, of course we have to do that. Otherwise, I'm forever going to be scared of those energies. I'm forever going to be projecting it out there. I'm forever going to be blaming them, rather than acknowledging that they're part of my genetic history. And as I integrate that, I can start to change. And I, you know, have to own the fact that I have tyrannical aspects, I have control aspects, I have the parts of me that think I should be ruling the world, and you know, all of that sort of thing, that I know better than anybody else. I have to really own that and work with that and take the charge out of that, because if it's still sitting in my subconscious, then it's going to play out across the surface of the planet in some way, or anchor me into situations where I get to live that, rather than processing it through my system and freeing myself of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, there's one of my guests, George Kavassalis, points out that we're all gods in our own universe, and that over the eons of time, we've incarnated in other gods' creations, and they've been incarnated in ours, and we cross-pollinate, and that it's basically we're in a process of densification, and that we chose to go through this. So there probably is some kind of increasingly strong memory that we are gods in our own universe, and then that becomes is consumed by the ego, which is in place to take anything that comes in that's powerful information and distort it. And so the distorted versions become psychopathic and, lords of dominion and, demanding worship and feeding off of us and taking our energies and treating us like animals in a factory for food. And
we are literally being farmed on this planet for our energy, for our finances, for whatever resources can be plundered. But again, we have to recognize that, as you said before, we exist on these many, many different levels simultaneously. And we are, part of our genetic history deep inside us at a cellular and genetic level. We are Pleiadians, we are Sirians, we are Arcturians and Andromedans,
mm-hmm.
and we are the Anunnaki too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
mm-hmm.
that. And mm-hmm. as we process that, the beautiful thing I get to see, and this is one of the lovely things with the energy work that I do, is that we are like extraordinary data storage units, if you like, and our body and our energy field compress vast amounts of historical data, vast. And we're in this time, and this is the energy work that I do, so I get to see it at an intimate, you know, in an intimate way. When we are decompressing all of those files in our systems, so all of the information of our history is now unpacking itself, we get to choose whether we let it go or keep it running. It's,
mm-hmm.
from my perspective, it's really important that we let it go. We allow it to move through the field, trigger our emotional states, and just move through so that it dissipates. Because what is happening as we unpackage all of that densely compressed data in our system, we're returning to what you referred to as our godlike state. It's just the understanding that our energy field is the most extraordinary bit of biotechnology that I think has ever been devised. And we're starting to return to the awareness of that. And beginning, we're just at the beginning stages as a collective, as a race, of learning how to work constructively with this amazing piece of biotechnology. It can only happen when a significant amount of the debris of the densely compressed data has been cleared from the storage system. So we start to come back online. All of those different aspects of us start. It's like being at the controls of a spaceship, I guess, and seeing, you know, as the dust blows away, the control panels start to light up. And that's us. That's what we are.
Mm.
And we're starting to just nibbling at the edges of the awareness of the extraordinary capacities of that, of our makeup. And, of course, our makeup is very individual because we are complete hybrids, I think. And we all have slightly different makeups, a slightly different evolutionary history, a slightly different genetic makeup. So our capacities and capabilities are going to be different for each and every one of us. And that's what's going to make it amazing if we choose to access that. So we are in this really exciting time. And something I'm doing, you talked about us being manipulated by gods and beings who claimed to be gods. Excuse me. I just became aware of this very clearly last week? I guess I was cycling and I'd been feeling this tension in my solar plexus all morning. And I was cycling off to the gym and this bus drove past with a big advertising hoarding for this new film, The Gods of Egypt, on the side of it. And as I saw that, it hit me in the solar plexus really, really strongly. And I knew as I watched that I was still at some level anchored into giving those beings that I had worshipped in Egypt a piece of my energy. And I got off the bike and went and sat in a park and began to meditate into that structure in my solar plexus. And I recognized that all of the pantheons of gods in all of the lifetimes that I had been engaged in were still active simply because I had never disconnected from them. I had never gone through a formal recognition of, wow, these beings I have given power to, I'm no longer interested in bowing down to them, in being frightened of them, in sacrificing to them, in pleading with them, anything like that, you know. And of course, throughout our history, we've gone through many, many levels of that. There have been, you know, different gods in different cultures and at different times. And it's like the vows we've taken in other lifetimes. If we don't consciously deactivate them, they can still be really active and holding or claiming a piece of our energy. So I'm offering a call on that on next week, on the 2nd of July, and that's up on my website, just to really help people move through all of those layers of the ancient gods that we have worshipped, and to formally disconnect from them and reclaim the energy that we're feeding to those those archetypal energies. That's what they are, the archetypal patterns in the collective field. And of course, a lot of them were beings that came here, saw us as easy game, I guess, you know, wanted to be worshipped, so could easily convince us that they needed to be worshipped. But as we disconnect and give up the disempowering state of handing large amounts of energy over to other beings that we believe have power over us, that are better than us, higher than us, as we let go of that, we recognize our own state as source energy, and that it's just us and source, and there are no other beings in the universe that are more, that have more divinity than us. And that's not a statement of arrogance, that's just how it is. And that we are in the time now when we are recognizing at a very deep level, this is awakening then. There's an awakening internally of our divinity. It is no longer something that we're going to be searching out in the universe for. It's happening internally at a cellular level. Literally, as we move through these different zones of the universe that are activating these deeper awarenesses and activating at a genetic level our capacities and capabilities, our remembrance that we, you know, eons ago came to this planet with an understanding that this was going to be a vast experiment in consciousness, and there would come a time when we would let go of all of the layers of forgetting and remember who and what we are. And that's the time we're in now. And it's happening deep inside the Earth. The Earth is triggering this amazing awakening. And she's certainly supporting that in the human bodies on the surface of the planet. You know, for those of us that are choosing to do this, and there are many on the planet that look as if they're not choosing that at the moment. And that's going to be an interesting dynamic. But it is down to each and every individual to give themselves to that process, I think, because it can't happen at an intellectual level. It has to happen internally at a cellular level, and that means that we each of us engage in letting go of our history and our shadow.
Absolutely, that's really the essence of what the work is about. But one of the things that we forget is that our lifespan is from 50 to 100 years, and that those gods that we have been involved with for millions and millions of years, in relation to us, are eternal and immortal. They have lifespans that go on and on and on, and they have been around forever. And Hollywood is bringing them back to life all the time so that we remain connected to them and that we continue to worship them as saviors. And you can see that with the Egyptians. You can see that with the Christians. You can see that with the Hindus. For instance, all of those old Hindu teachings about the chakras and the pineal gland and so on and so forth were done to install the mechanisms for access, two-way access to us, so that we could continue to be controlled from other dimensions. And also the Hindu gods were blue. Now, the interesting thing about that is many people, David Wilcock and a few others, Corey Good, are talking about these star beings, these blue avians that are allegedly hovering outside our, you know, in the nearby universe in huge ships, and they're here to help us. And the movie Avatar, for instance, had the blue blue beings and so on, and they're being portrayed as being a higher level of being than we are. And of course, the contrast between the bloodthirsty, greedy corporate world using the military to control is truly an eye-opener. But then again, here we are back at the choice period where we have gods being thrown in our faces, and we're basically being told to choose, you know, who do you believe in? And so what you said about just us and Source is such a powerful truth that, and we're kept so insecure and out of balance and unfocused all the time with cell phones and murders and fake and false flags going on all the time that we emotionally are almost unable to even take care of ourselves with the basic necessities, let alone try to remember ourselves as us and Source. And so we're just given this plethora of information to choose from, and it becomes so much easier to just throw a dart and, well, I'm a Christian, and I believe in this, and that's it, period, end of story. That's the way it is. And so then that creates reinforces the duality, and then you have other people that know that's not true, and then you have fights and arguments and blah, blah, blah.
And which is what I'm saying. It's really important that we make very, very conscious choices about what we're doing with our time, what we're paying attention to, you know, television, and focusing time on doing the stuff that really works, clearing the emotional field, doing your meditation practice, taking care of the physical body, those sorts of things that keep us vibrating at higher levels, because it's very easy to get sucked into the emotional and energetic drama that unfolds on the planet at the drop of a hat, you know? It is. We've been trained for many, many lifetimes on this planet to
bow down and fall to our knees.
To bow down and to give power away. You know, there have been many layers of disallowance, and these act as points in the collective field that are that we'll hit them as we're in our ascension process, if you like, and we'll hit these layers that act as, I have no permission to move beyond this. And again, then we've got to really focus and dissolve the energies that keep us locked in. We've got to do our processing work and really meet each of these, they're like membranes of separation that keep us locked into our smaller versions of ourselves. It's also really useful to recognize that we were those beings that laid the traps hundreds or thousands of years ago.
We did that.
Are those beings. We are those gods.
Yeah.
You know? So we did it to ourselves. It's no point in saying they did it to us. We did it to ourselves in order that we would awaken thoroughly. And that's, it's a really, you know, it's the same sort of thing as we always go through that point in our evolution where we blame our parents for what they did or didn't do to us.
Right.
It's much more useful to move to the place where we recognize we contracted our parents to behave in exactly that fashion.
Right.
So it would help us to pull into awareness those very facets of our subconscious that we really needed to address in this lifetime. So for me, that early introduction of sex at a very, very young age, very traumatic experience, was very significant because that was a deep, deep point of healing for me that had to be addressed in this lifetime.
Yeah.
And
out of love.
It's always out of love because that's all that exists ultimately. It gets twisted and turned around here on this planet. And, of course, you don't believe that when you're having what appears to be a very traumatic, catastrophic experience. But as you process the woundedness and the victim mentality, you recognize that actually the wounding isn't nearly as deep as we think, not in comparison to our eternality. It's like the wounding is a very, very thin veneer on the surface of the ocean, if you like, but our eternality is the ocean. And we're playing around in that surface veneer, convinced that we're our wounded identity. Mm. And we're missing the fact that there's this vast depth to us that is now really, really available and wanting to be integrated. It's literally...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That you know, eternity is wanting to be integrated into our cellular structure in a way that I think maybe hasn't happened like this before. And it's very, very beautiful to witness it.
Well, you know, you're hitting the nail on the button all over the place here. I have a close friend who was molested by her grandfather for about 10 or 12 years. And she eventually took it to her parents, and they told her she was lying and was untruthful. And so that memory had been buried as a shadow until about 6 years ago. And I've watched her go through this amazing transformation of going through the PTSD of the horrors that she experienced, and then transcending them and continually doing the inner work. And it's miraculous to see her blossom mm-hmm. and now be close to her parents. And she actually did soul retrieval work, which is a kind of a shamanic journey. Shamans will tell you, you know, don't do this on your own, folks. But she did it on her own, and she found her wounded child in a cave and reintegrated her with herself. Now she has a 19-year-old and like a 3 or 4-year-old in her that are being reintegrated, and it's just incredible to watch this happen. And I think the importance of that information is that all of us have something within us. Many of us have it buried so deeply that we just refuse to let it up. And if there ever was a time for those shadows to come up, it's now. We're terrified of what we're going to find behind that locked door, but it's vital in order to move through it, and it's much easier than we think. It's vital to have someone empower us to unlock that door, because we're the only ones that can do it, and find our essence or our hidden child within that's been locked in the basement of all these years, and then just love them, just be with them. And, you know, if we can begin to look at ourselves more deeply rather than outside at the world and who's running for president, which is kind of a circus, we will have some tremendous gains as we discover the magic of transforming the experiences that we've held as terrible and shocking and, you know, group rape and this and that and the other thing. It's just an experience, and you just have to remain objective about it and not just observe it as if you were an observer looking at it from afar.
Yeah, it's and the amazing thing is it's happening very, very much more quickly and easily now than it used to. But, you know, and it's not to minimize the trauma. I remember when I was integrating some of those experiences, I spent days feeling as if I was going to die. And it took me a while to recognize that this was how I felt as a little boy after mm-hmm. those experiences. When that piece of me had left my body, I felt as if I was wandering around like a zombie. And I had that experience, and it was truly, truly deeply unpleasant. So it's going to be useful if you've got some deep stuff to work with somebody, but always work with your highest self, you know, the part of you that is source energy. And we all have a team of beings that work with us too. Guides, we call them. Now, with this, again, it's important to recognize that these beings don't need to be worshipped. They're not better than us. They are, I mean, how it was always explained to me was that when I would ask my guides, who are you? They would say, we're you. We are just holding the bits of wisdom that you believe yourself to be disconnected from. And when you open up and integrate those wisdoms, you won't have guides anymore. So I understand the guides to be literally aspects of us that are awaiting integration. So recognize that you're talking to yourself, in effect. And
these
are the bits of you that chose not to incarnate so they could stay discarnate and have a bit of a wider viewpoint in order to provide the guidance that you would need as being the aspect that chose to be in a physical body. And it's easy to get lost when we're in physical body and we don't have that expanded viewpoint. So working with guides, but from a viewpoint that these are just the aspects of me that haven't incarnated and they have a slightly expanded point of view. And but it's not about being disempowered or having another cluster of beings to worship, but recognizing there are a lot of helper beings here that can really give a lot of support.
David, I have to ask you a question because this one is something that bothers me. I make no secret about identifying as an aspect of myself as a gay man. Mm-hmm. And recently you posted a beautiful video of men and men and women loving each other and kissing, and I thought it was beautiful. I'd like to hear your what you feel about the judgment about being gay, and, you know, there's such a huge engine of hatred and demonization, and you're going to hell, and if you do this, you know, it's wrong, it's bad, from enlightened people to, you know, religious extremists that hang gays in their country. What is your feeling about the experience of homosexual love, and where does it fit in?
It's a weird one, and I was very aware of being attracted to men as a child. My sexual awareness and energy was awoken very early on because of my early experience. I always felt deeply, deeply ashamed of myself. Prayed, even though I didn't know what I was praying to, but I wanted to be different. And then it's taken me it took a long time to integrate all of that and to work through all of that. And there may well still be other layers that I haven't yet dealt with. But at a collective level, again, there's been a lot of training on this planet about making anything different wrong. And lots of different religions have got very strict codes around this is the line of behavior you have to follow, and if you step off this particular path, then you're wrong. And of course, everything changes as we evolve collectively. But certainly in Europe, it isn't anything like as intense as it is in the States. So I think that that level of polarization that you experience in the States and the hyped up level of violence that you have around your gun laws and stuff it's astounding to us here in Europe. It really is.
Yes, it is, to some of us in America too.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, what are they doing?
What's that about?
Yeah, really. And so there's been huge, huge strides here in the UK and certainly in Europe in terms of just the acceptance and integration of being gay. And it's much, much easier now here. I just think, I really don't think that the universe as source cares what I do with my genitals.
Agreed.
It wants me to love, and that's it. Loving is we come here to learn how to love as fully and completely as possible, and we will do that in as many permutations as it takes for us to open our heart as completely as is possible. So we'll try it all in our various lifetimes, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And It's just the polarized state playing itself out on this planet. And if you're anchored into polarity, then you're going to get entangled in that. I mean, personally, I've never, even though I persecuted myself about being gay, I've never actually experienced persecution about being gay. And I became HIV positive in 1992. I came out as HIV positive in my workplace and, you know, told everybody very quickly. I never ever experienced any persecution around that either. So I've had a very easy ride externally on that. I gave myself a really tough time. I had a lot of internalized shame to deal with. But it always amazes me, this thing of why would you require the acceptance and approval of an organization like a church that has spent a lot of time condemning you? Why would you expect them to be any different other than they have been? And why require their approval? I think, it just comes down to being much more willing to give yourself the approval
you
need, rather than demanding approval from other people. Because as soon as we approve of ourselves, and this has been my experience, as soon as we approve and accept ourselves, the outside world does it too.
Right. It's funny how the mirror changes when you look in it, and if you smile first, the mirror seems to do it right back at you.
Yeah, it is that it's that simple, I think, really. So,
David, I don't mean to go too far off base here, but I wanted to get this in before we reach the final moments, literally. And you mentioned the ascension process earlier, and I wanted to touch upon that because there's a big movement. There's a lot of New Age propaganda and control mechanisms going on out there. But there's also a truth about the Earth ascending and this being a major change in the evolutionary cycle, let's say. The Earth is moving up through, and probably always was, up into the higher dimensions, because if we're connected to them all, then the Earth surely is. But how do you see this as a turning point for the planets and ourselves together as a shift in consciousness and energy change?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I think we incarnated here eons ago with an awareness that we were going to have to forget deeply who and what we are until this point in time. So I think when we chose to be here, we knew that this point was coming. Even if it was millions of years in the future, you know, at that level, time and space aren't particularly relevant or important. Mm-hmm. So at that point now, and my awareness is that the Earth she's leading the way, in effect. And her, one of the loveliest things you can do to speed your evolution and to ease your evolution is literally to breathe deeply into the heart of the Earth. Just drop awareness down into the heart of the Earth and just breathe in time with her. And that sinks your field to her her vibration, which is very, very high. And it's a very, very simple thing to do. It's a beautifully deep, relaxing meditation. But literally, because she is wanting us to shed our historic stories now, doing that enables these new frequencies that I started to see emerging from the heart of the Earth at the turn of last year. It enables these new frequencies to rise up into your body and dismantle the stories. And the big story that she's working on with us is the story of separation. So that operates at every level. So just doing that simple simple meditation of dropping awareness deep into the heart of the earth and breathing at her rhythm just really enables this amazing synchronization to happen. But apart from that, what I see is that, have you seen that gorgeous video on YouTube of the solar system as a spiral moving through the universe?
Oh, yes. And that, it's incredible. You know,
it is incredible, and it really gives you an understanding of, oh my God, this isn't just about our planet. It's about the solar system. It's about the place of this solar system in the galaxy. And I think we're moving through zones of the galaxy that are of heightened frequency and really give us this opportunity of shedding the compressed files of the lost stories, as it were, the outmoded identities we've worn and crafted for ourselves. I think that's the time we're in, when we're in these sectors of the universe that really allow this opening, this flowering of consciousness on this planet. And it happens at an individual level, but also at the level of the collective. And I think that's where we're at. All of these games and schemes and plots and plans that play out on this planet are stuff that we've originated ourselves. These are the little hurdles we've put in place for us to step over. It's now possible for us to withdraw attention and energy from that dynamic and just focus on the internal ascension process. And that's where we're at. You know, that's, I think, the game we're playing. And it is a game, in a sense. You know, it's an experiment in consciousness. And it's great to, you know, I'm working with Lucia Renee and Susan Gash, and we're doing these workshops around the planet at the moment. We've done one in Berlin that was amazing. And we're about to do one in San Francisco. And then we've got one in London in October. And these are 3-day deep immersions in clearing the field, opening up to these heightened frequencies. Lucia moves these amazing transmissions of light that are of these very different heightened frequencies through her, and Susan and I work on these other levels where we're really clearing the field. And these are marvelous, marvelous experiences of really opening into these other dimensions, shedding the history, you know, wholesale, because it really can fall away very, very rapidly now, and in massive scale very quickly. So that's what we're engaged in at the moment, is really helping to move the collective at that level. And the experience we had in Berlin was phenomenal, because it led us into this deep exploration of the matrix and how deeply encoded the matrix is around the planet and how far it exists out into other dimensions. And it led to this recognition that we are at a stage now where we can choose to step out of the matrix. And that's what we did. The three of us worked after the initial workshop. We spent some time together and we worked and made that choice. We worked and we worked and we did that thing of dismantling our personal connection to the matrix. So we now know that it's possible for that to happen at a collective level. And Lucia has offered some amazing meditations, which are up on YouTube, to do just that. And hundreds and hundreds of people, or thousands now, have done those meditations. So there's a real collective push now to recognize it's no longer appropriate to be at war within the matrix. Just decide to step out of it. Let it go.
Right. You know, I can't imagine three more wonderful or more powerful beings to do a 3-day event than the three of you. I just had Lucia on the show. She's an absolutely amazing person.
She really is.
We're coming to the end of the hour, so I just wanted to make sure that people know the date of that and how to reach you so that they can have that opportunity, because this is really a rare treat to have the three of you together with Susan Gash and Lucia and yourself in San Francisco. That will be the 7th through the 10th of July. Is that right?
That's right, 7th through the 10th of July. And check out my website, www.davidmanningenergywork.com. And there on the front page is a treasure trove of transformation sticker. And you can click on that one. That'll take you to all of the information about that workshop. But it is... it's an intense, it's a huge amount of fun, apart from anything else, but it is an intense dive into this process of just letting go of history and opening up to these very heightened frequencies, because that's what's important now, that we learn to integrate those high frequencies into our system so that we get the elevation that is possible now.
Well, David, we're out of time, and I just can't thank you enough for coming on the show again. I just love talking to you, and you're just a wonderful person, too, period.
Oh, well, Lance,
so thank
been,
you so much.
Thank you, Lance. It's been really lovely, and the hour has gone so quickly, but it's been great to chat with you. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
All right, and maybe I'll see you at the workshop.
That would be lovely. We would love to have you. That would be truly lovely. Thanks, Lance.
Thank you. And good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.